Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo-woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildenbrand. Joining me over there, beautiful New York City, a fine gentleman who goes by the name of Mr. Dan Rubenstein. Sir, how are you?
I'm good. I am single once again, Ty. I am single just because, okay, so our pal Adam Amin said the verbal wife, because if Kate is solid wife Kate, verbal wife Jody with an I, I don't know.
I like Jody with an I.
Jody with an I is on her way back over the Atlantic, but I have been once again a bachelor in New York for 4 days.
Wow.
And do you want to know how I spent that time, Ty? Probably not, but here it is.
I mean, I would imagine a lot of wild partying, a lot of bar hopping, things of that ilk.
It was crossword puzzle night 2 nights ago. And by that, I mean, I was alone in my apartment doing New York Times Tuesday crossword puzzles. Let's see. I cooked a little bit. I did some laundry.
Some Sudoku?
No Sudoku. Ty, that's crazy. That's international puzzling. I'm not ready for that.
Okay.
So that's all that's going on right now in my life, gratefully. So it's been low key. And actually, when working on, nobody knows about this outside of SB Nation and people that are tight with SB Nation people. Been working on an incredibly fun top secret project. Top secret project across the SB Nation universe that the world will see
is this something
sooner
that
rather
I,
than later.
Do I know about this?
Do know about this.
Okay, so, right, all right. I know what you're talking about now.
Yes. It
is a very cool idea, if I don't say so myself. And I'm a little biased because, you know, we're co-hosts and friends here, but it's a very cool idea.
Yes. So that'll be happening sooner rather than later in the SB Nation college football universe. So
okay.
Keep your eyes peeled. But other than that, Ty, life has been good. No complaints. How you doing?
I am doing well. It dawned on me after our last show that I referred people to solidverbal.com to sign up for our newsletter, the newsletter of intent. And we started getting tweets and emails like, we can't quite find the link. And my reaction was one of defensiveness until mm-hmm. I went to our website and noticed that I had taken the link down. So if you go on out there now, look right at the top. There is
only true verballers can find it.
That's right. There's no more Easter egg on solidverbal.com. You can literally now click on the white newsletter link in the main menu and sign up. Again, if you want more information about our live show, which we're working on, t-shirts, any other news that might arise between now and the start of the season, any of that stuff you can find and get notified about via our newsletter of intent. So stay tuned to there. So what are we doing today?
So we've got a theme episode. We've done this in years past, sometimes during the season, sometimes during the off season. And this is just a 10,000, a 30,000 foot view of figuring out if a team or situation or something as it relates to college football is donezo or not donezo. And you might be saying to yourself, why would Dan and or Ty ever say the word donezo
as
grown
donezo,
men?
Right? What does that mean?
It is a word that our good friend, Kristen Cavallari,
very good friend
used,
of the pod.
Yes, very dear, dear friend, married to a former SEC football player, Jay Cutler, uttered on the now infamous show Laguna Beach. And we just figure out if something is donezo or not donezo. And that is as simple as it is, but because it is the off season, people have a wide array of topics that we need to deep dive and figure out if they're donezo or not donezo. We've sometimes had West Coast Kevin on. He is not joining us tonight, but I like the list a whole lot. And then I think because people requested it, and it's pretty personal to us. Near the end, our final donezo, not donezo will sort of tie into, and we're not going to declare it donezo or not donezo, but, you know, a lot of bummery things happening around college football media, and people want to know what's going on. So
yeah,
we'll do our best, but I mean, we're on the outside.
So again, donezo or not donezo, it's a show that we've done 3 times before. We didn't mm-hmm. last year. We're basically evaluating things that we view in the college football world that are like just about kaput. Like, are they there? Are they not there yet? If they are there, if we think they're donezo.
Donezo!
That's the sound clip.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sound clip. We're not going to play any sound if they're not donezo. We're not declaring them anything. We're just saying they've got a stay of execution to some degree. If right. you did see Laguna Beach, you'll remember this song. Kind of lead in here, set some mood music, Dan.
Yes.
The wise, the great Hillary Duff. Okay. So what we did is we thought up some on our own. We also went out to Twitter and asked if anyone out there had any suggestions. So, you know, got a lot of, what's a good one? Jim Mora, right? Jim, what is Jim Mora? What's he doing at UCLA, Dan?
How many wins does Jim Mora need to keep? Okay, so we received our 100th question about Jim Mora's job security. And honestly, it feels just like yesterday where we received our first question of how many wins does Jim Mora need? What's Jim Mora's job security like? Are you, is Josh Rosen going to help turn around this offense? Is Jim Mora? We will not be talking about Jim Mora. I just cannot.
We'll not be talking about Jim Mora, and we're also going to try and veer away from some of the stuff that we've discussed a lot this offseason. So think of it less in terms of will Butch Jones be Tennessee's coach beyond 2017, and more along the lines of some of the bigger picture type stuff. Let's talk about our first topic here, Dan. Very first topic.
Mm.
I'm not asking about Butch Jones. I'm asking about Chip Kelly. And I'm asking, okay, is Chip Kelly going to be a college football coach in the year 2020? Dunzo or not dunzo?
Let's go with Chip Kelly's college football coaching career in the near term. So in the next 2 to 3 years.
Next 2 to 3 years. Chip Kelly's
in the near term.
College football coaching career in the near term.
I'm going to say not dunzo.
Okay, explain.
Not dunzo. So here's my explanation. So Chip Kelly will be at ESPN this fall. We know this. He's doing studio stuff in Connecticut. He's not going to be out on the road like Urban Meyer was when he went to ESPN. He will be doing both college and NFL stuff, I believe. That's what I've been told for ESPN. So he'll have a hand in each of those worlds. But I feel like, because this is my feeling, his reputation in college is much higher right now than it is in the pros, even though it's taken a hit, I would say, in both places just because he's been in the public eye. I'm thinking that Tennessee will not be attractive to him. I don't think Florida's going to open up. Texas A&M might be, but I think he's more coastal-minded, and I'm not going to talk about Jim Mora and Jim Mora's job security, but if there were a job that opened up in California, in Los Angeles, and it would be UCLA, that would be the job. I will say within the next two or three years, Chip Kelly will have a non-SEC college football coaching job.
Let me ask you a hypothetical, though, along those same lines.
Please.
Between Tennessee, Florida, and Texas A&M, if any or all of those programs believed that they could hire Chip Kelly tomorrow, how many of them would fire their head football coach right now?
I don't think Florida would. I mean, Florida's won a couple SEC East. I mean, there's some questions about recruiting, but they finished quite strong this past signing day. They, you know, quarterback has still been an issue. Tennessee, potentially.
I think Tennessee would do it. They would pull the trigger.
Yeah, well, I don't think Butch wants to be there all that much, but yes, I think Tennessee would. I think Texas A&M probably would.
Yeah. Yeah, I think two of the three would probably do it. I tend to agree with you. It's not dunzo. Chip Kelly is someone who I think has it woven into the fiber of his being that he's a football coach.
Yes.
The problem for him, as I know you know full well, is there were aspects of being a college football coach that didn't appeal to him. He didn't want to do like the booster stuff, the golf tournaments. He wanted to be a football coach. He wanted to do X and O stuff. And at least to that degree, the NFL was a better fit for him. His system did not translate to the next level, but he still does have a very good reputation among the college ranks. I would imagine there's going to be a lot of money floating around out there for Chip Kelly in the relatively near term after he gets through this 1 year stint with ESPN. There will be teams who require and desire his services. So I think there's too much coach still in him. He's still a young guy. He will be back on the saddle before long.
Yeah, I would imagine one of the things that I think about is like where he would want to be and what type of situation. And so Oregon is sort of away from the sort of mainstream, you know, the South, right. the Southwest, whatever. And the Midwest obviously is huge in that the very specific region, you know, Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, that sort of triangle, and Michigan State to a slightly lesser extent after last year. But it seems like maybe second tier in terms of attention. It's like if Larry Fedora left North Carolina, that kind of thing, where he could just sort of slide in. He's not the main show. It's a basketball school. That's the type of place I could see him ending up and thriving.
Chip Kelly, not Dunzo when it comes to coaching in the near term. Let's move on. Let me stay on the coaching side, Dan.
Okay.
This is a topic that you and I have kicked around on occasion. We haven't talked about it on the show too recently, but it came up each of the last 2 years specifically because there was a Clemson-Alabama national championship.
Mm-hmm.
There seems to be a school of thought that at some point in time, because Dabo Swinney went to Alabama, if Nick Saban retires, perhaps he'd be interested in going back to his alma mater. You have to assume that they would be interested in bringing him over. But there seems to be a school of thought out there, maybe it's wishful thinking, that Dabo would consider coaching Alabama.
So we'll frame it like this. 5 years of Clemson career in the future for Dabo. Dunzo or not Dunzo?
Okay. Dunzo or not Dunzo, Dan?
Not Dunzo. I think Dabo's locked in. I think Dabo's locked in and Alabama will go in a different direction. Once you win a national championship somewhere, once you've built what he's built at Clemson, you know, you can make a pretty easy argument that the Alabama job is more prestigious, but there have been many, like, why would you ever, ever, ever want to follow Nick Saban at Alabama? That right. just seems, Dabo's a smart dude. Dabo's a shrewd guy. He knows very clearly what he's doing at this point. He's a championship college football coach. He's the best modern Clemson coach.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, there's, you know, a ton of love for Danny Ford and stuff like that. But in terms of the modern Clemson era, he is in that whole region. He is the best coach. So like Mid-Atlantic, you know, upper South. What I don't know what region that is. What am I talking about? But do not follow Nick Saban. Do not.
You don't want to be the guy
that follows the guy.
Don't want to be the guy after the guy. I agree.
Dabo's too smart, too.
I agree with you. I want to play the sound, so I'm just going to say the notion of him going to Alabama, I think, is Dunzo.
Dunzo!
That, to me, is Dunzo.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't think he's leaving Clemson.
Once you get the hardware.
Yeah, I think he can write his own ticket for as long as he wants in Clemson, South Carolina. I think
who would be that person?
To leave.
Jimbo?
He's probably the favorite to get that job. At some point, Lord knows he's flirted with Alabama. He's used Alabama to get a better contract.
And, you know, you hear the whispers that there's an itch that perhaps Tallahassee isn't scratching.
Perhaps he wants to get out of Tallahassee, you know, for personal right. reasons and whatnot.
Right.
I don't know. I'll believe it when I see it. Florida State's a pretty good job.
It's a very good job. Yeah.
Where are we going next, Dan? Let's play the music. Where are we going next here?
Let's go here. Let's go with, oh God, I do not like our options here, Ty. I do not. Okay, let's go with the Big 12 over the next 5 years.
Okay.
Is the Big 12, and I will not have to reframe the question in the Dunzo-ness. Is the Big 12 Dunzo within the next 5 years? 10 teams.
Is it Dunzo? Okay.
Yes. They flirt with a number of potential candidates this past year before ultimately deciding not to expand back to 12 or however many teams. And there's certainly attractive schools out there for various reasons, both football and otherwise. Is the Big 12, as they are trying to reshape TV deal, conference network, everything that goes along with being an alleged major conference, Dunzo within the next 5 years?
I don't think so.
Okay. You don't think teams will be scattering Texas and, you know, Oklahoma off to the Pac-12, et cetera, et cetera?
I don't. I think in order for that to happen, you're not just talking about the Big 12. You're talking about a seismic shift in mm-hmm. college football as a whole. You know, you're talking about creating like a Pangea conference with some sort of massive realignment taking place all throughout the sport. I don't see that happening. I think they will find a way to keep it somewhat solvent. I am not the math wizard behind that plan, and so I'm not going to sit here and dot I's or cross T's and tell you exactly how they get there. But it just seems like a heavy lift for the conference as a whole to dissolve. Now, could Texas be courted by the Pac-12, by the Big Ten, by anybody? Yeah, absolutely. I just think there's too much there to keep them where they're at and preserve the status quo.
I think the Big 12 may be donezo.
Whoa!
Donezo!
Wow.
And I'm going to tell you why. It has nothing specifically to do with where the Big 12 is today in 2017. It has something to do with the fact that I think within the next 5 years, we are going to see chaos beyond college football, just in terms of media rights as those deals start drying up. And I think those rights deals are going to start spreading thinner, not necessarily less money, but we're going to be going across digital and traditional platforms. If, you know, places like Google and Apple and Hulu and Netflix, you know, all these entities, Amazon, step into the media fray. Apple hired what? Sony executives?
Two guys
to
from
run?
Sony, yeah.
Yeah.
Presidents.
So as money is sort of getting wider, I think it becomes more difficult for a place like the Big 12 to figure out exactly what it wants to do. And I am just betting on chaos. The fact that conferences with really good TV deals like the Big 10 and the SEC are making so much more money than Group of Five schools, a little bit more money than conferences like the ACC, but who is about to get their own network and new deal, and the Pac-12, that I think the divide is such that the structure of the sport is going to have to change just because the money is so, it's going in so many different directions at on very different levels. So I'm going to wager on chaos, and the Big 12 is the least stable of the major conferences. So I'm fine with saying that they're donezo.
Who knows what's going to happen in 5, 6, 7 years from now when it comes to consuming media.
Do you think the Big 12 has a product problem?
I think the problem with the product is that because it has historically been offense, 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 people have difficulty taking them seriously.
Ty, do you know last year, as I look at college football standings, against AP teams, AP ranked teams, Big 12 teams outside of Oklahoma, so West Virginia, Kansas State, TCU, Texas, Texas Tech, Baylor, Iowa State, Kansas, how many combined wins they had against teams ranked in the AP poll?
Is it a number between 0 and 1?
So that's how many teams? That's, what, 7 teams?
Yeah.
It is 1, Ty.
Wow.
Baylor won 1 game against an AP-ranked team. The rest of the teams were, if my quick math works out, it looks like 9, 15, 21. 0 for 21.
Wow.
It's not the greatest. It's not the greatest. So they have a depth problem. They have a perception problem. It's not a good time for this conference to be the least exciting of the five. And maybe Texas, it's a nice springboard. Maybe Oklahoma with a new brand with Lincoln Riley in the long term. It'll be, you know, Stoops players and obviously the current staff, at least for the next year. You know, Matt Campbell at Iowa State. Kansas is improving. So hopefully more depth moves forward. A lot of people like to argue about the cyclical nature of college football, but it sort of feels like quadruple A right now.
Okay.
In terms of entertainment.
So you're saying donezo, I'm saying not donezo.
I'm saying donezo. Within, well, I'll say 6 years, when the, so the TV contract is up, 2023.
All right. Where are we going next?
That's all I'm getting of the musical stab?
Well, I'm going the short.
Okay.
The short version of Coming Clean.
Okay. We're going to go with Nebraska.
Nebraska football.
Yes. And we will go with Nebraska threatening to win 9 or 10 games in a perennial way, like they did under Bo Pelini. Now that we have a couple of classes of Mike Riley, and we are sort of seeing how the offense and defense are now shifting. It's a new defensive coordinator this year with Bob Diaco. It's a new quarterback, Tanner Lee, which has elicited a ton of different reactions without even playing a game or starting a game for Nebraska. Is Nebraska donezo starting today, late June, as a team threatening 9 or 10 wins every season?
So year in, year out, perennial contender for 10 wins.
Yes, they go 9-4 last year with the bowl win. They go 6-3 in the Big Ten. They don't lose a game at home. 2-3 on the road.
Dunzo!
I'm not feeling really? That one.
Okay, why is that?
First off, the Big Ten has gotten a lot better. It's not just on the eastern side of the conference, but there's enough money throughout the Big Ten that you've got coaches like PJ Fleck coming in the West, taking over Minnesota. For a while, the Big Ten West has felt like the lesser of the two divisions in that conference. I think gradually that will change. Gradually they will equalize out a little bit, which will make it a little bit more difficult
Why?
For anyone to run away with it. Well, because Nebraska inherently has some difficulty attracting like top flight players. You know, it's always been a difficult place to recruit to. And I think if you now have more competition on that side of the division, it makes it all the more difficult to contend in perhaps ways he did years past. Beyond that, I'm not totally sold on Mike Riley yet. 10 wins, knowing that they've got Wisconsin on one side, knowing that they've got at least three heavyweights on the other side of the conference, depending on who they play in a given year. I could see him getting the 10 wins, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you that in the near term, 10 wins is a possibility for Nebraska year in and year out. That just feels like a bridge too far for me.
Yeah, Nebraska has some nice pieces on defense. I'm not a big fan of optimism about Tanner Lee coming in and drastically improving the quarterback situation. Offensive skill talent is down entering this season. You know, there's still some holdover pieces that are interesting. But at this point, with how they finished out the year, I think they combined for 13 or 14 points combined in two of their losses at the back half or the last month of last season. I'm not a big believer in Mike Riley as upper echelon coach year in and year out.
I mean, take this year as a good example. Wisconsin should be pretty good again. It should be pretty good. Iowa.
Absolutely.
Iowa's always like, what, 7 or 8 win team. You just fall in that category, at least. Mm-hmm. Minnesota got a new coach, a lot of excitement there.
They got a ways, though.
I would assume if Fleck is there for an extended period of time, he will find a way to build them up, get them at least to a better point than they are right now. And they went 9-4 last year overall. Northwestern this year, as Bill Connolly pointed out, could be like a sleeper Big Ten West contender.
Sure.
Should be pretty good this year. Illinois, who knows about Illinois?
Illinois's I do. Mess. It's not going to be good.
Illinois is a mess. But Purdue just hired a new coach. Hired a good guy.
Ways to go.
So I'm just saying, the level of coaching aptitude in the Big Ten West has, I think, gone up.
No, it definitely looks more entertaining.
Definitely more entertaining.
Yeah. What about this? Nebraska fans, Dunzo or not Dunzo, believing that they root for an A-list program?
No, definitely not Dunzo.
Okay.
I hate to say that, though. We have Nebraska people. Somebody asked us why we hate Nebraska fans. We don't hate Nebraska fans.
We don't?
No, I don't. Do you?
Ty, I thought this show was founded on the very basic principle that we hate Nebraska fans.
Nebraska people were so nice that I was taken aback by it.
They're always very... That's where I met a Playboy playmate, tailgating.
That's right.
I always hold a special place in my heart and on my wall.
All right, Dan. Let me ask you this one.
Okay.
Mattress is not named Casper. Dunzo or not Dunzo?
Completely Dunzo, Ty.
Yeah?
Didn't have to think twice.
So, a little bit of a announcement here. Mm. I saw you this past weekend. We got together
That's
in New
true.
York.
That's true. We did have a secret powwow.
Did a little powwow. Your Casper mattress is still in the box.
That's true.
It's still in the box, Dan. What are you waiting for? Why are you doing this to your back, to your body, to your sleeping arrangements? Why are you not relishing in the glory that is a Casper mattress?
So first of all, I have laid on a Casper mattress before at a friend's house. I can't say too much more beyond that, Ty.
Yeah, right.
So I can speak with authority about the comfort level. It is difficult to get rid of mattresses in a large city. So we have to like time it up with our building, and we've been going back and forth with them about the best time to get rid of it, because you have to get like a special sleeve because of bed bug concerns in New York in order to dispose of a mattress properly.
I was under the impression that the responsible way to dispose of a mattress was just to drive out on the highway and throw it along the side by the guard.
Sure. Not per my understanding. That is not how New York City works. So I will be putting it on my bed spring. Is that what it's called? Yes. As soon as humanly possible, but it is still, and it's comically situated in a box that looks far too small to hold a large queen mattress.
It's like a half wall in your apartment.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Solid wife Kate has been traveling for her mysterious day job.
Mm.
And she's been staying in various hotel rooms across the good old US of A. When she comes home, she's like, I love our mattress. Thank you to Casper to sending us mattresses.
Mm-hmm.
They have an award-winning design. It's continuously developed using feedback from nearly 500,000 customers. They sell directly to you. So they're able to cut out the commission-driven inflated prices. You know how it is. You see mattress stores all across the country. You don't have to worry about that. Just go out to Casper.com and you can buy there. It's easy. You order online. They deliver it to your door. I don't know how they fit it in the box, Dan, but they can deliver it to you in the United States, to the UK, to Canada. Wherever you are, it's free delivery, free returns, a 100-night risk-free trial. They give you a chance to sleep on it before you fully commit to it, which is cool. If you want to get in on the fun, you can get $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting Casper.com, that's C-A-S-P-E-R.com, /verbal, and use the code verbal, V-E-R-B-A-L. Again, $50 off any mattress purchase, free shipping, free returns. Try it 100 nights risk-free. Casper.com/verbal. Offer code is verbal. $50 off any mattress purchase. Terms and conditions do apply.
I've said it before and I'll say it again, Ty. Sleep is the greatest drug there is. Go get that danky, danky Casper.
All right, Dan. We actually solicited a bunch of these on...
Wait, hold on. Is danky a good word?
I don't think so.
Okay, so go get the stickiest stuff. Nope, we don't want to talk about mattresses sticky.
Not there.
So go get that good stuff. That good Casper.
We solicited a bunch of suggestions for this show out on Twitter. Mm-hmm. What we're trying to do again is go big picture. We're trying to talk about stuff that we haven't discussed before in the past.
The spread offense as a unique offensive system. Dunzo, not Dunzo.
Dunzo! So
this is kind of loaded.
Dunzo!
So why do you say Dunzo? Because the spread is not defined as one rigorous set of principles, is it?
True. I kind of remember when the spread was becoming a thing. Because we started doing the podcast back then.
True. When it sort of infiltrated the major programs, yeah.
Right. When the spread was in vogue and it could be utilized as like something that people hadn't seen before.
Right.
That was a much, much different day and age. Now everyone's using some form of the spread or some concepts. They're borrowing from it. It's not like this new thing that people haven't seen before that they can't game plan for. It certainly can be difficult if you're going from like Navy one week to Oregon the next, but by and large, people know what this is. So to call it a unique offensive system at this stage in the game, I can't go that far. There are definitely wrinkles within it that make it interesting, that make it entertaining. If you would have asked, is it still entertaining? That's definitely not Dunzo. I love watching a good spread offense, but as a unique system, that's Dunzo.
So there have been elements of what we consider to be the spread going back decades.
Sure.
And wrinkles throughout time, and whether it's the zone read, whether it's running inverted veer stuff, whether it's flex bone, which is my favorite new term in college football. You look back to Kentucky when Mike Leach was there running that offense. They were running a ton of air raid principles with Tim Couch, and what he was doing at Texas Tech predates obviously what we did when we started the show, and Urban Meyer was developing stuff at Bowling Green and Utah and Florida and having success there. So now that you watch college football and you see teams even like Alabama, Stanford runs the inverted veer.
Right.
Stanford runs zone read concepts with traditional drop back type quarterbacks that also happen to be mobile, like Andrew Luck and Kevin Hogan, guys like that. We saw what Jalen Hurts did at Alabama this year as they sort of ported their offense into having principles of spread. So There isn't a team in America that I can think of that doesn't do something in a spread fashion. So I would say, without hesitation, the spread as a unique offensive system is completely dead. The spread offense is offense right now. Even with Stanford lining up under the under center 93% of the time in like jumbo packages and stuff like that, Stanford football isn't defined by only that.
Right.
So I would say it's impossible to be a successful Power 5 program at this point. And you can go back to Joe Tiller, and he was spreading the ball out at Purdue with his system. It's impossible to be a team like this without having some sort of element of the spread in 2017. I defy anybody to name one who doesn't include parts of what we consider to be the modern spread into their system.
The real world comparison here would be when Facebook opened itself up to parents.
Yeah.
You know, when parents were able to get on Facebook, then you knew it's like, okay, this is no longer a secret society. This is now a thing that's going to go mainstream.
I may be one of the last. Both my parents, Ty, not on the book.
Really?
Both not on the book and lead such happy lives.
I could see your dad having interesting comment wars on Facebook.
One of my brothers does, but my dad has steered clear and is happy about it. So, yeah, it's almost to the point where, like, a trendy restaurant, like, are you a trendy restaurant anywhere in America that doesn't serve Brussels sprouts?
Right.
You know,
right.
That kind of, like, you might not serve Brussels sprouts, but you've got some sort of vegetable small plate that's shareable. Okay, should we share some green beans? Should we? No? Yeah, should we share some mushroom fries?
I'm with you.
So, you might not be a Brussels sprout restaurant, Ty, but you probably have some sort of version of sprouts.
All right, let's do one more here, Dan.
Okay.
One more here, and then we can move on and talk about some other stuff. Thank you to everyone who wrote in, by the way, at Solid Verbal. We're on Twitter. Subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts. We're also on Google Play, coming soon to Spotify, for those of you who are familiar with that service. We appreciate their help in getting the verbal on there probably in the next week or so. So stay tuned. We'll send that out via the newsletter at some point in the near future. This one I found interesting, okay? And, you know, it's something that we've discussed here and there, but it's just interesting to me. I love the wording. It came in via Twitter.
Okay.
Is it Dunzo or not Dunzo, Stanford as the neighborhood bully?
I'm not sure what this means. Right. I'm going to be quite honest with you,
Ty. It's open to interpretation. So here's what I think it means, okay? You can tell me what it means to you. But what it means to me is Stanford in recent years has taken on this persona of just a team that's going to go out there, line up opposite you, and just beat your brains in. Beat your brains in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the neighborhood bully thing might have a negative connotation. In a college football sense, it's kind of cool just to know that there's a super physical team out there. But I guess the question is asking, perhaps due to turnover, perhaps due to the fact that everyone knows they've been the neighborhood bully, does Stanford still have that reputation? Is it still preserved? Is it Dunzo or not Dunzo?
So, no, it is nowhere near Dunzo as Stanford having that narrative of being the neighborhood bully because they keep signing the best offensive linemen in the country.
Yeah.
And if your reputation is lining up as many large humans as possible and using those large humans to obliterate the spleens of everybody in front of them, and you keep getting the best guys at doing that, no. And I like that they play to an identity. I love that. I love that Stanford, arguably one of the places with the lowest floor as a program, just because of the difficulty in getting players to Stanford that are of high quality, both on the field and in the classroom, and can get into the school with like a 3.5 or a 3.8 GPA, whatever you need as a football player to get in. The fact that they have sustained success, like David Shaw, if he were at any of, like, if Stanford were in the SEC and he was sustaining this level of success, everybody would be fawning over him year in and year out. But the fact that he's in a quiet place in Northern California, away from the heartbeat of college football, he just sort of lives his life, plucks the best quarterbacks, plucks the best tackles, hires really good assistants, and goes about winning 10 games, even in down years like they did last year. It's incredible.
If I go back to 2012, Dan, Stanford, 12 wins. 2013, Stanford, 11 wins. 2014, Stanford with only 8 wins, 8 lowly wins. But then I go to 2015, Stanford, 12 more wins. Last year, Stanford started off, kind of looked rocky, still found a way to get to 10 wins, won their last 6 games. There's no way possible this team is not still the neighborhood bully, not still capable. I think you're right to point out they might have a lower floor than many other programs out there. The fact that they're able to do what they've done to have this level of success, given the fact that it's an institution that prides itself so deeply on its high academic standards, that at other places that would definitely be a barrier.
Yes.
And one other one here, actually. We're not going to play the music for this one, but you may have heard the Audible podcast.
Yes, our pals.
Might have heard the most recent Audible podcast from our friends Bruce Feldman, Stuart Mandel, two common guests on the Solid Verbal. They had some sad news that it's likely the end of the Audible due to some strategic shifts that are going on at Fox Sports and FoxSports.com. On the heels of that, we received some questions via Twitter, via email, about what does this mean, kind of in the context of the Dunzo, not Dunzo show here, not to try and make a joke out of this by any stretch, but the question is not so much Dunzo or not Dunzo, but where's college football journalism? Where's college football podcasting? Where is this whole sports media thing headed in light of some of this news? There was more news today that some other friends at other websites have been let go. So this has been a recurring theme over the last couple of years. Dan, you're in the media business as a day job, and not so mysterious day job. What's going on here?
It's a wonderful question, Ty. Bruce and Stu have always been, I mean, you're listening to the Solid Verbal in no small part because Bruce and Stu early on were generous with their time and were great on the show along with people at other entities. But it's such a bummer to see this. And we tweeted that yesterday, but, you know, Bruce and Stu and you know, Stu has been a mainstay of just sort of big picture college football for years and years, both at SI and Fox and Bruce and breaking stories and doing sideline stuff and features and writing books. Like, these are titans. And to see this happen at Fox with, if you haven't read the piece at Awful Announcing, you should read it and try to keep a level head because it's sort of infuriating, especially if you care about, you know, college football or sports media or whatever, because a lot of good people are affected. And this is something that we all look at sort of, you know, big picture as like a hobby, as something we love. But it does suck to see, especially for reasons that are still not super clear to me. Like, they just obliterated. If you go to FoxSports.com right now, and FoxSports.com is where you got your start, yes?
Yeah.
Way back when?
Back in the day, yeah.
It is all clips of TV shows.
It's an interesting digital strategy. Perhaps
it's a creative graveyard.
I could talk at length, perhaps not in this forum, but in another one about the digital strategy, or at least the attempt at a digital strategy there. But as it relates to college football.
And the Audible and
I mean, this has been a theme. This has been something that's been going on. A lot of good people have been losing their jobs. And so it's probably a fair question to ask, where is it all headed? There's no denying the fact that it's a very difficult business model to solve. Very difficult business model to solve. Publishing as a whole has definitely seen a downturn.
And when you have these places that are TV networks and magazines and websites, and they have sort of hands in all sorts of buckets that are all sort of coming into the same pool, it becomes very difficult to sustain and figure out identity and where you should be going. And you have a ton of different cooks in the kitchen. And, you know, we saw everything affected at ESPN a few months ago. You know, our pals there, you know, Brett McMurphy, Chantel Jennings, Ted Miller. These are all people we read and love all the time. And that sounded weird. That phrasing, now that I listen back, Ty, was not ideal. But Lindsay Schnell at Sports Illustrated, and she was doing a podcast with our pal Andy Staples. We love Lindsay. We love, you know, our people at SI. And it's just, it's a tough thing to crack. And you hate to see it. And anybody that tells you that they know where media is going, they have figured it out. They have solved it. This is
right.
How they've cracked the riddle. They're just full of shit.
Well, Blockbuster had the media right. Figured out too.
Exactly.
For a period of time.
Yeah. And, our friends at Bleacher Report. Yeah.
So things are changing. I would hope that there would be strong independent publishers that would pop up, that would value the kind of fine work these friends of ours have done.
Yeah.
And would offer them shelter where they could do their work.
What's interesting, and I think it was Ryan who told me this morning at work, Ryan Nanny, that you have places like Fox who are rights holders now not really writing about the sports. They like, is the Pac-12 going to be happy that FoxSports.com doesn't write about sports, that ESPN.com is writing a lot less about sports? The SEC, happy that ESPN.com employs fewer college football writers, even though there's still a ton there, that they're not covering the sports in the same way, but yet paying all this money. And it's not going to be a great situation, which is why we talked earlier about the Big 12 and chaos and media stuff. But it's rough. And anybody that works in this industry, anybody that has tried to work in this industry knows sure. that there are a finite number of jobs and there are way more talented people than there are jobs.
Yeah.
And it's tough.
Just again, 30,000 foot view, as digital strategy goes, things are headed in a much more video centric direction. There's no denying that. Mm-hmm. The problem is you need videos that people want to watch in order to sell ads against those videos.
Big picture as well. People are worse off than people losing jobs in sports media. And that's cool. I mean, that's not cool, but that's something we also realize. But this is the medium we're in. And something that I also recognize is I don't think we ever, like Stu and Bruce with the Audible, Lindsay and Andy with Campus Rush. Like I never viewed them as competition.
No.
Like our competition is people doing things with their time other than podcasting.
Yeah. I want more podcasts, to be perfectly,
exactly.
perfectly honest with you. The more the merrier.
Yeah. So people that bring listeners to the medium is who we're fans of. So we're positive Bruce and Stu will land in a good place. We're hopeful that college football podcasts, sports podcasts, college sports podcasts, we love, Shut Down Fullcast and Podcast Ain't Played Nobody and all sorts of people in the space succeed, grow. It's good for everybody. It's tough to see for such stupid reasons.
Well,
for such stupid reasons.
I wish Bruce and Stu and many other friends who have had to go through this all the best. It's tough to watch. You hate to see it, and you don't wish on anybody in any profession for sure. But we wish them well, and hopefully we can talk to them soon. We just talked to Bruce a couple weeks ago,
and we're not all lucky and fortunate enough like you, Ty, you are,
right.
Like you've got the secret day job pushing pro-Russian propaganda for a Ukrainian consulting company. I've seen the news, Ty. You're doing quite well.
We're all just trying to make a dime in this world, Dan.
It's true. It's true. And good for you. But think about side hustles, everybody. Think about side hustles. And I'm okay publicizing this. I would love to rent chairs for events, Ty.
Yeah.
I've said this to you before.
Rent chairs.
After planning a wedding, people are always going to need to sit down at various events. And Rubenstein and Hildenbrandt will be thrilled to rent you chairs.
Can we organize some sort of multi-level marketing scheme whereby we're trying to be in the chair business, but it's also something that we do like Facebook Live events around? Because that seems that seems to be very hot right now. I'm just trying to figure out a way to put a...
Yeah, marry them both.
Put a nice face on it that people actually want
to
do it.
I swear to you, Ty, I am going to be the chair king of California before this is all said and done.
You could be the chairman.
I'm going to be the chairman, the chairperson of California. But yeah, side hustles, Ty. Right, let's get that business going on Etsy.
Let's send people off on a brighter note. It is July
4th
this weekend.
Yes, it is.
We're going to be listening to us. Perhaps on the way to a picnic.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk some grilling very quickly. We got 5 minutes here.
Oh, yeah. I don't own a grill. I've grilled many times.
Are you gonna go somewhere where there is a grill?
God willing, Ty. I really do hope so. You own a grill. You've been grilling a lot. We've got a couple of questions here. Somebody asked about like the best electric grill. I don't have much help for that.
Yeah, I don't.
Just because apartment complexes don't always allow for charcoal or gas. Here is a good question, Ty.
Yeah.
The best sausage for grilling.
Okay.
Tell me about your sausage loves.
Another weird phrasing, Dan. Thank you for that.
I stand by that one.
It's what you do best, so thank you.
Yeah.
I like the hot Italian turkey sausage.
Mm, yeah.
Hot Italian turkey sausage grillers that you can buy. Wegmans has a fantastic variety of these. You do a lot with them.
Hot Italian sausage, whether you like pork or turkey or chicken or whatever, is always good. Best sausage I've ever had in my life, I think, was beef sausage in Texas.
Okay.
Like a jalapeno beef sausage.
Yeah.
If you can get a hold of that, like Texas-style barbecue sausage, that is outstanding. Maybe some hot mustard, some grilled peppers and onions.
Yeah.
That's can't miss.
Brown spicy mustard, by the way, and we've talked about it on the show.
Oh, absolutely.
That was something that I discovered only a summer or two ago while eating a sausage sandwich, and it changed my life.
I would say if you want to grill Mexican, I would look up Roy Choi, C-H-O-I, Roy Choi carne asada, and his marinade with like roasted tomatoes and cilantro. It's a little bit Asian. It's a little bit Mexican. It's the best marinade that exists, the recipe for that. My final thought is this, Ty, because people are going to keep it basic and straightforward and for good reason on July 4th. And they're going to make burgers and dogs. This is my big tip.
Big tip.
Actually, I have a double tip for burgers.
Double tip. Okay.
One, American cheese. Okay. I don't care for your Jack. I don't care for your cheddar.
Wow.
I don't care for your Swiss. Those are all fine cheeses.
Hot cheese
but for
takes
burgers.
Them on the show. Yeah.
For burgers, I'm an American cheese man. It gets gooey. It's just the top of the top. For me, that's my opinion. I would recommend it. Everybody's probably had that by now. Number two, though, is get a recipe and scan recipes online for burger sauces.
Yeah.
Like variants of Thousand Island kind of thing. You're mixing mayo and ketchup or sriracha and a little bit of lemon juice and some seasoning, maybe some finely diced pickles in there.
Maybe some Guy Fieri donkey sauce, right?
Don't do that. Don't do that.
No.
Okay. I think it's just aioli. I think that's just like a mayo.
Yep.
But maybe a little mustard in there. You mix all those together, slather them on both sides of the bun. It boggles my mind why people aren't making burger sauces for their burgers. It brings everything out, creamy, salty, whatever, tangy. Little bit of adobo sauce if you want in there from canned chipotles.
Okay.
Up, yes.
No idea what that is, but it sounds delightful.
Canned chipotles? So like canned Mexican peppers, the sauce they're in is called an adobo.
I knew that Adobe made
Dreamweaver,
and that it used to be a form of a house that American Indians built, but was not aware of the sauce.
Sure. It's a mix of just like tomato sauce and vinegar and garlic and stuff like that. Okay. But it takes the heat of the chipotles very nicely.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
Interesting.
That is my recommendation. Roy Choi for a carne asada marinade. And then look up Husk Sauce, H-U-S-K, like the restaurant in Charleston and Nashville for a burger sauce. Those are my big recommendations of American cheese.
If I said, Dan,
yeah,
talk for 20 straight minutes about this, you could do it without any assistance from me whatsoever.
I would start talking about shred your iceberg lettuce as finely as possible.
I don't mean that in a derogatory way. It's a skill you have when it comes to food.
You want to butter up your buns and throw them on the grill for a few seconds?
Who doesn't?
I think that's a great idea. I'm also going to throw this in, Ty, because you got me all worked up.
Okay.
80-20 is your ideal ratio for beef. Get some fat in there.
Okay.
You want to get some flavor. You want to get some crust. You want to get some oozing. 80-20 is the ratio.
All right.
Don't settle for anything leaner. Come on now.
Speaking of beef, we'll close out with this.
Okay.
I have 8-ounce filet grilling instructions for anyone who might be interested.
Is that your preferred cut of steak?
I like a good filet, yeah. I don't like a lot of gristle on my steak.
Okay.
Some people like that. I prefer the clean eating of the filet.
Oh, that's fine.
Okay, just my preference.
I don't like steak enough to have strong steak thoughts. I like ribeyes, but you know, I've had good cuts of steak of all kinds.
I'm not like a pure carnivore. You know, I don't need a steak a week or anything, but
right.
I like a good steak every now and again. And as someone who is a new grill owner, I've taken it very seriously how to cook a steak.
What's your basic methodology?
So let me tell you how I got this, okay? It's not like a family recipe or anything like that, but I quite literally stood behind and took copious notes as my father-in-law cooked one of the best steaks I've ever had in my life.
Mm-hmm.
8-ounce steak grilling instructions. Here's how he does it, all right? He might get angry if he finds out that I told the world this, but there's not any real secret here.
Right.
The secret is the sear burner.
Okay, I don't even know what a sear burner is.
Sear burner is just a burner that gets real hot on the grill.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay? Absolutely.
So you can sear using any number of different ways, but...
Of course, yeah.
He does a one-minute sear on one side, then he flips it over, does another one-minute sear on the other.
Okay.
And he turns the sear burner off, moves the steak to another burner that's going at like high or medium high.
Okay.
Usually high.
So direct heat, yeah.
Direct heat, leaves that on for 7 minutes, flips it over again, cooks it for another 4, and then pulls it off. Then you got to let it set for a little bit. You
have to. That's the set. Big key.
You know, like 10 minutes maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll continue to let it cook. I'd be curious to hear from other folks how they cook an 8-ounce filet. But that's,
you got the reverse sear people, yeah.
That's been my methodology in the past. And certainly as we now get into college football and tailgating season...
Yeah.
My hunch is that someone will take exception to what I just described, but I'd,
that's okay.
I'd be curious. I'd be curious
May
to
I ask
more,
you this?
More opinion.
May I ask you this? It gets cold in Eastern PA.
Very.
In the winter times. So much so that you probably don't want to be outside grilling.
No, but I've done it. I've done it at Christmas time.
Will you mess around with like a cast iron skillet for steaks? Because I think you should. They're wonderful.
I would consider it.
Okay.
I'm open to it.
I think you
it.
Should get yourself one. Yeah, yeah.
I'd be open to it, yeah.
Okay. That's all I'm checking on. That's all I'm checking on.
Okay. Dunzo, not Dunzo. Another one in the books.
Another one in the books. What do we have coming up in the coming weeks?
So again, sign up for the newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
Sign up for the newsletter because we'll keep you posted on the live show, which you and I got to figure out. Also, we've got t-shirts, I think, coming out in the next, I don't know, a couple weeks or so.
Mm-hmm.
Some other news. We'll see. Beyond that, though, we've got a recruiting show that we're working on.
Yep.
Kind of in the same vein as the how college football coaches get hired. A little bit of different style for us, but the first one went over well. We're going to do it again. We've also got a super secret show coming with Bill Barnwell later on in July.
This is true.
Followed a few days later by the history of the Solid Verbal show.
Oh,
it's going to be our 10th
height.
Our 10th season now doing the podcast.
Yeah.
We're going to walk you through what's gone on over the last 10 years to kind of get us to this point where we're doing a 10-year special.
It will be the height. I can't promise it across all podcasting or even college football podcasting, but it will be the height of Solid Verbal navel gazing. I cannot wait.
We will be doing that show in the presence of one another, too, as we will with Bill Barnwell.
True.
We're going to be doing that one live. Not live, but we'll actually be in the same spot.
In person.
In person. Thank you. And then after that, Dan, then we're starting to go pedal the metal. Once we get into August, and we're going to do our team previews, and then at the end of August, we're talking games already. So it's going to happen pretty quick now over the next couple weeks. A matter of days, really, until the season begins. Under 60 days, I think, until the season actually starts up. So
it's a beautiful thing.
Stay tuned here. Stay tuned to solidverbal.com. We're going to launch a new website, by the way, at some point next few weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Got that coming up as well. So a lot of cool stuff going on. Subscribe to the newsletter. Follow us on Twitter. And like the Facebook page, facebook.com/solidverbal. Anything else, Dan?
That's all I got, Ty. That's all I got. Shout out to our brothers at the Audible.
Yes, okay. And happy 4th of July to everyone out there. If you are listening on the way to or from a picnic or Lord knows wherever else, enjoy your holiday. Stay safe. We'll be back next week. For that guy over there, Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildebrand. Thanks again for tuning in. Take care. Stay solid.
Peace.